The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink it and criminalize our
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, May 28th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us for this Hemp Day Hump Day. We are live and direct from Rology Studios in beautiful Portland, Oregon, and we thank you for joining us here. Hey, a quick note, there's going to be some changes coming up on the Russ Belville Show starting next week, which, by the way, is our second anniversary. That's right, 2 years independent on the air here at 420radio.org. And so we're going to change things up just a little bit. Our daily toker tunes are going to move into hour two. That's basically it. We're going to pack more news and more coverage into that first hour. Also make a couple changes into it music-wise so that we can get it posted on other outlets that don't have the same ASCAP and BMI licensing we do. So you'll actually be getting more Russ Belville Show in the first hour and more music in the second hour. And that's pretty much the only change. So stay tuned for that. But for the rest of this week, we'll continue our daily toker tunes. And Gordon Green will be calling in. He's got a great Algerian musician for us, I believe. So we'll check that out at 20 after. Also on the show at half past, Rebecca Forbes and Jenna Broom are going to join us. They're activists in North Carolina who are going to tell us all about two different medical marijuana bills that have been dropped at the North Carolina legislature. So we'll talk about those. Also in the Radical Rant today, we're going to take a look at an LA Times piece on something called the Mendocino model. This is a new revolutionary way that the district attorney is wading through felony marijuana cases in one of the counties there in the Emerald Triangle. And it looks like extortion to me, but we'll let you be the judge of that in the Radical Rant. Also, in Behind the Headlines, I got a little piece that I wrote up called Medical Marijuana by the Numbers. Now that Minnesota's poised to become the 22nd medical marijuana state, depending on how you count those, well, I decided to start counting them. So we're going to take a look at some of the numbers behind medical marijuana when we get in Behind the Headlines today. And that comes right after our 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, we have got an important debate taking place at the U.S. Congress. The House of Representatives will be voting on an amendment that would forbid the DEA and U.S. Justice Department from going after state legal medical marijuana. That's coming up. Also, Oklahoma's poised to start a medical marijuana initiative of their own. The New York Assembly has passed medical marijuana, and we've got crime reports from the city of Denver. All that's coming up on the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you don't just want any attorney. You want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Lauren Vasquez knows the details of California marijuana law from both a personal and professional angle. Lauren Vasquez rose from the ranks of college normal activist to become one of the Bay Area's best marijuana lawyers. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com. The number again is 855-MMJ-LAWS, 855-665-5297 for your Fired Up Lawyer, Lauren Vasquez. Lauren Vasquez is an activist attorney you can trust. Call today. 420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get highly educated. Hey, Tokers and Tokettes, Radical Russ here to introduce you to my friend Matt and all the staff at Lush LED Lighting. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED Lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. If you thought LEDs were... meet the tech of today. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Let's just say I appear at a lot of events with the masters of indoor horticulture, and the harvests I saw from Lush LED Lighting were big, tight, sticky, and very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Double your rewards and lower your expenses with Lush LED Lighting.
This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, May 28th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. The latest attempt to rein in the DEA's prosecution of legal medical marijuana businesses takes place tonight in the U.S. House of Representatives. The House will be debating a spending bill that will include what in the past was called the Hinchey-Rohrabacher Amendment after the New York Democrat and the California Republican congressman who repeatedly sponsored the bill. With Representative Hinchey out of Congress, Representative Rohrabacher this time is joined by five other Republicans and six Democrats in sponsoring the amendment that would forbid the Department of Justice, which includes the U.S. attorneys and the DEA, from spending funds to raid and prosecute people who are obeying state medical marijuana laws. The last attempt to pass the amendment failed in a 165-262 vote in 2007, but one co-sponsor, Democrat Representative Sam Farr from California, said some Congress members have changed their mind, and support for medical marijuana is reaching 85%, even in Fox News polls. The New York Assembly has once again passed a medical marijuana bill, but it still faces opposition in the Senate. Assemblyman Richard Gottfried's bill was approved on a 91-34 vote in the Democrat-controlled Assembly. Assemblyman Gottfried has whittled away some of the original provisions of the medical marijuana bill, such as coverage for glaucoma patients. Also, a doctor's recommendation would only be good for 90 days, and medical marijuana would have to be a treatment of last resort. Senate Republicans, meanwhile, have been chipping away at Senator Dianne Savino's companion medical marijuana bill. Senator Savino's bill also excludes glaucoma and requires treatment of last resort, and also restricts the number of statewide grow sites to 20 and the minimum age to smoke medical marijuana at age 21. Presumably, 18-year-old patients will still be allowed to smoke cigarettes. Both bills allow patients to possess 2.5 ounces of usable marijuana. Uniform crime reports for the city and county of Denver, Colorado, show a drop in the murder rate by 52.9% since legalizing the recreational marijuana market. For the first 4 months of 2013, there were 17 homicides in Denver, while the first 4 months of 2014 have yielded only 8 murders. Sexual assault is down 13.6%, robbery is down 4.8%, and aggravated assault is down 3.7%. Overall, violent crime is down 5.6% since the opening of legal marijuana shops. Property crime is also down versus the same period last year by 11.4%. All that and the state raised $7.3 million in tax revenue in the first quarter from legalized pot shops that are mostly concentrated in the Denver area. Oklahomans for Health have kicked off their petition drive to legalize the medical use of marijuana in the Sooner State. The rally today at the state capitol in Oklahoma City featured statewide candidates for office and current state senator Connie Johnson, who told the crowd, quote, "I am excited about the rollout of the Oklahomans for Health Medical Marijuana Initiative petition as yet another opportunity to have the conversations about marijuana policy reform that many Oklahomans are ready and wanting to have," end quote. The Oklahoma initiative would allow patients 3 ounces and the home grow of 6 marijuana plants. A dispensary system would be created and a tax of 7% of sales would be added to fund the medical marijuana program, with excess divided 75% to schools and 25% to drug rehabs. Oklahoma's initiative provides for 36 qualifying conditions, including depression, anxiety, insomnia, PMS, and painful periods. The initiative also reduces to a misdemeanor 1.5-ounce possession and 6 plants by patients who could qualify but haven't yet registered with the state. The mayor of Bridgeport, Connecticut, is apparently unaware that there have been medical marijuana dispensaries for over 17 years in America. The Bridgeport Zoning Commission has halted development of the dispensary, one of 27 approved for the medical marijuana program in Connecticut, after nearby residents complained that the dispensary would lower their property values. Mayor Bill Finch told WCBS Radio, quote, "We would like to see some of the other communities take on facilities like this. We are not sure there is a risk, but the uncertainty of this new untried type of facility should be tried somewhere else," end quote. Mayor Finch has apparently not seen the latest crime statistics we reported out of Denver. He also has seemingly not read the numerous studies showing no increase in crime in California, Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and Michigan in the vicinity of medical marijuana dispensaries. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, May 28th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at medical marijuana by the numbers. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available at our website at 420radio.org. Click the 420radio.org logo to get to the show archives. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com. Let him bring in the beat. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, The Russ Belville Show, Ganja John, and Cascadia Concentrates, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Adam's meticulous designs are individually crafted and screened in vibrant high-definition color. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org. .420radio.org is proud to replay Hemp Beach TV with Blazy and Max from the secret Hemp Beach. Blazy and Max bring you the best festivals and events from all over the country in this weekly show courtesy of Hemp Beach TV. Entertaining video and lots of fun for the 420 friendly party crowd. Catch the replays Friday at 12 Pacific on 420radio.org.
Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. We're taking a look at medical marijuana by the numbers. So how many states have a medical marijuana law now? Well, it depends on what you consider a medical marijuana law. With Minnesota passing the first no plant, no home grow medical marijuana law, and a few states passing laws that only address the use of cannabidiol extracts, I thought it was time to uncover some of the facts about medical marijuana by the numbers. Here we go. 34. That's the number of states that have passed some version of marijuana reform, including decriminalization, cannabidiol only, and medical marijuana laws. Those 34 states contain over 200 million people as of the 2010 census and represent almost two-thirds of Americans. 23. Those are the states: Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Rhode Island, Vermont, and Washington, plus Washington, D.C., that have passed laws allowing for the medical use of cannabis to some degree. These states represent over 125 million people and represent 41% of the U.S. population. 13. The number of medical marijuana states that have also decriminalized personal possession of marijuana, usually about an ounce, by all adults. And I'm not going to list off all the states as we go through this. I will have this posted probably on High Times, and you can get the state lists from there. 12. The number of medical marijuana states that allow every patient to grow their own cannabis at home. Every patient. There are three states, Arizona, Massachusetts, and as of July 1st, Nevada, that only allow home grow under hardship exemptions, such as living farther than 25 miles from a dispensary. The rest of the medical marijuana states require patients to shop at dispensaries. 11. The number of medical marijuana states that enacted their law through a ballot initiative. Nevada registered the greatest voter support at 65.4%, while Arizona's law barely squeaked by with 50.13% support. 10. The number of medical marijuana states that only allow patients to possess 2 ounces or less of usable marijuana. And with that, with Maryland, I'm counting their 30-day supply as 2 ounces or less, because they haven't decided quite yet. 9. The number of medical marijuana states where patients must register with the state to receive any protection from arrest and prosecution. 8. The number of medical marijuana states where patients have an affirmative defense or a choice of evils defense upon receiving their doctor's recommendation, you know, before they get their card. In Delaware, you have to have applied for your card to get that affirmative defense. 7. The number of medical marijuana states that recognize PTSD as a qualifying condition, either explicitly Delaware, Maine, Michigan, Nevada, New Mexico, and Oregon, or California, since they allow for any condition. 6. The number of medical marijuana states that will accept a card or recommendation from another medical marijuana state. That's Arizona, Maine, Michigan, Nevada, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island. And 6 is also the number of states that have passed laws allowing for high CBD, low THC oil extracts. Those are the CBD-only states of Alabama, Kentucky, Mississippi, Tennessee, Utah, and Wisconsin. 5. The number of states that have passed symbolic medical marijuana laws that depend on a doctor's prescription, thereby making the laws inoperable without violating federal laws. That's Virginia, New Hampshire, Connecticut, Wisconsin, and Louisiana. 4. The number of medical marijuana states that won't recognize glaucoma. There are also, that those are Delaware, Maryland, Minnesota, and Vermont, and soon New York. Or nausea. Connecticut, Illinois, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C. will not recognize nausea as a qualifying condition. 3. The number of medical marijuana states that won't recognize any form of pain as a qualifying condition. That's Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Washington, D.C. There's a bunch of other states for which qualifying under pain is, you know, a huge hurdle to have to clear. 2. The number of medical marijuana states that have no in-state residency requirements to register for medical marijuana, that's Illinois and Oregon. It's also the number of states where every patient is covered without a doctor's recommendation, thanks to legalization of marijuana. And one, medical marijuana states that don't allow patient access to the plant itself, Minnesota. Also the number of medical marijuana states that allow doctors to recommend for any condition they believe marijuana will help, that would be California. Again, I'll have this posted on High Times. Check out RadicalRust.com as well.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
No Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420.
In the afternoon, if I'm home, I smoke marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ. On the Russ Belville Show.
Oh, marijuana. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got my ganja.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 23 after the hour, and as I mentioned earlier, starting next week, we're moving our daily toker tunes 1 hour ahead, so you'll be getting them at 4:20 Pacific time. How appropriate. We would have a perfect 4:20 break if we did it that way. The main concern here is, trying to get Russ Belville Show on more platforms, and some of these platforms, it becomes a licensing issue as far as using certain music. So just decided we're going to make the first hour music free, and then we'll put music into hour two, but we still have some music for today and the next couple of days. And joining us by telephone, we have got Gordon Green from Gordon Green's Music Planet for our Irie Wednesday tune. How you doing, Gordon?
Hey, Russ. I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic and looking forward to the music you got for us.
Yeah, man. I'm actually outside of Denver right now on a ranch. It's just beautiful here. And happy to be joining you today. First, I want to tell listeners about last week's show. It was a special show. First time I've done something like this. The show was called Flamenco and Sangria. And if you go to my webpage, you can listen to it. There were some technical difficulties last week, and it didn't get played. But I've got it on my page now. And you've got 45 minutes of authentic flamenco from Spain, as well as an authentic sangria recipe to enjoy the music with.
Right on. And we're looking forward to more of these shows in the future. And also this 8 p.m. hour opening up to a full 60 minutes. Is that something we can move forward with as we go forward?
That's right. For the summer, Music Planet is going to take a break. And I'm going to be playing some of the best shows of Gordon Green's Music Planet so far. This is based on responses from listeners and some of my own picks. And then when Gordon Green's Music Planet returns at the end of the summer, we're going to be a full hour, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Looking forward to it as well. All right. And tell us about the artist and the tune for today.
Okay, today, man, I've got this Algerian, one of the most famous Algerian singers and activists today. He's also the subject of this week's Gordon Green's Music Planet Artist Focus. His name is Rashid Taha, and he's been making music since early 80s, and just a great artist. He sings in Arabic, sings in French, also sings in English, and the cut I'm playing today is from his most recent album. The album is called Zoom, and this song is called Galbi. It's from I'm using a clip from episode of music program in France, and he plays, it's not an unplugged version, but it's a great version of this song. And I saw this guy in concert in Spain about 2 months ago and just blew the roof off of the place. And I encourage people to check out this week's Gordon Green's Music Planet and enjoy the song today, man. It's Rashid Taha with Galbi.
كيضرب كتير ندير فيه كونفيونس على ودني انايا يعرف شكو جوبونس دايما حر كريم دايما يدافعني بين عبر مشوري وحبي قلبي قلبي دايما حدايا قلبي قلبي دايما معايا قلبي قلبي دايما حدايا قلبي قلبي ودايما معايا دايما امن بيه صاحبي وصديقي دايما معاه هو دليلي وخلاصي رحن عليه كل شيء انا مشي حرامي هو صاحبي داويني فرحني كتاب فيبريه دمني ويهديني كتاب فيبريه دمني ويهديني دايما قلبي قلبي دايما حدايا قلبي قلبي دايما معايا قلبي قلبي دايما حدايا قلبي قلبي ودايما معايا دايما امن بيه صاحبي وصديقي دايما معاه هو دليلي وخلاصي شاور والله والله يعمل بروجرام دايما تجول دواني ومشروعي انيق انيق وصافي انيق انيق قلبي 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 دايما حدايا
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical RUSS on the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
420radio.org is proud to replay Drug Truth Network, Century of Lies, with Dean Becker from Houston, Texas. Pioneering marijuana radio activist Dean Becker continues his illustrious career, interviewing reform luminaries on his Century of Lies and Cultural Baggage shows from Pacifica's KPFT in Houston. Catch the replays Monday at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org. In 1929, Pauline Sabin began the women's movement to end alcohol prohibition. 4 years later, the 21st Amendment was passed. Women are crucial to ending adult marijuana prohibition, and we celebrate women's marijuana activism in a segment we call Ladies of Legalization.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's 33 after the hour, coming to you live from Rolla J Studios in Portland, Oregon. And we're connected by telephone to two wonderful activists out there in North Carolina. We've got Rebecca Forbes on the line. Rebecca, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. And Jenna, are you on the line? No,
we
Jenna.
Have Jenna yet.
No, Jenna. Okay, so we got Rebecca on the line. That's great. Let me just clear this one and... Rebecca. So Rebecca Forbes, last time I had spoken to you was probably at one of the Southern Cannabis Coalition, Southern Cannabis Reform events. And you were with what was called the Carolina Cannabis Coalition. Is that still what's going on?
Yes, I still run the Carolina Cannabis Coalition, but most recently I've been solicited by the North Carolina Cannabis Patients Network, of which I was the former president. To run the East Coast chapter of their organization again. So I've got my fingers in many pots on the state level, but I'm also still the assistant director of Evergrow the Government that works in D.C.
Oh, excellent.
So, yeah, so I work on the national level as far as D.C., but on state level legislation, I represent both NCCPN and the Carolina Cannabis Coalition at this point.
All right. Well, Rebecca, that's a lot of hats, and you probably have to get an extra long business card just to keep all that together. But
yeah, I would think so. But we do have two bills in North Carolina that was an absolute shock to most of us this year.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I saw the first report come across about a CBD-only bill, and I was ranting about it on Twitter, and then I saw somebody else on Twitter say, oh, North Carolina's got this great bill. It'll be great medical marijuana. I'm like, wait a minute, which one are we talking about?
Yeah, I actually have that one laying here in front of me. It's House Bill 1161. It is actually a constitutional amendment similar to what Colorado did, that will allow the acquisition, possession, cultivation, manufacture, delivery, transfer, and transport of cannabis for medical use. So what Representative Kelly Alexander has done, and I sat with him an hour and a half yesterday and we spoke about all this, is he's basically gone around that non-favorable ruling that they gave us last year when all of us were so upset.
Mm-hmm.
When they killed House Bill 84, which was our North Carolina Medical Cannabis Act. And what he has done is put in a constitutional amendment to put it to a vote of the North Carolina people. So if we can get this constitutional amendment on through committee, it only has to go through one committee, which is the House Judiciary Committee, and that's where it is now. Thank God it didn't go to rules, where most of them go.
Okay.
We have to get it through the Judiciary Committee, and then it will go to the House floor for a vote. And that's where our problem is. We need a two-thirds majority vote on the House floor for a for or against question on the North Carolina November ballot this year.
Okay, so that's a feature of North Carolina law. You got to get a two-thirds vote when you're trying to put something like
exactly.
an initiative. Okay.
Yeah, when it's a constitutional amendment, there has to be a two-thirds majority vote on the House floor once the bill makes it to the floor.
Okay. Now, you also mentioned that it wasn't going to the Rules Committee where things go to die. It's going to Judiciary. Do the chances look better there, I guess?
Representative Paul Stamm and Representative Tim Moore, two of the most staunch opposers that killed our last bill, one is a vice chair on this committee, Representative Paul Stamm. I was in the news with him last year. Or 2012, I guess it'd be 2012 now, this is 2014. Yeah, in 2012, when they killed our bill, he was one of the main opponents, and he sits on this committee. So we have a lot of work to do, and we only have the short session, which is only a six-week session, to do this.
Hmm.
So if the North Carolina people really want this, it's time for them to come out of the closet.
All right. And we've got Jenna Broom on the line now. Jenna, can you hear me okay?
I can. How are you?
I'm doing great. And Jenna, are you affiliated with Carolina Cannabis Coalition as well?
I'm not a member, but I'm a floater.
Okay.
I help anybody who needs help. So I'm just floating between all of them and trying to get the word out.
All right. Now, as far as getting the word out,
I'm hitting the college campuses. I'm going to college campuses because in North Carolina, 14% of the people voted, and that was it in the last major election.
Wow.
And it's these college kids, and they all say, well, our vote doesn't count. It's not going to count. And so I'm going out in my new bus with the tag Cannabus on the back of it, and I'm trying to educate these college kids. Because they're taking the polls out of the colleges. They're no longer polls for voting in colleges in North Carolina. And they've taken away the ability for a child to vote at the college area if they're registered in another area. The parents lose their tax credits for college.
Right. I had heard about this controversy with regard to voting rights for college students in North Carolina, and some of these opponents trying to say, well, you don't really live there. You're from out of state. You're going to school there, and really making it a hassle for college kids to be able to vote.
They really are. And so those are the ones I'm going after because they're not, they feel like they're unheard right now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're working on that end of it. And Rebecca, with respect to the other bill.
Oh, and I'm helping her on the bill, too.
Yeah.
Jenna and I met through a mutual friend that she went to high school with. So Jenna's been kind of my right-hand woman.
Right on.
I'm teaching her how to navigate the legislature recently because I've been down there since 2009. So
right.
We do have another bill that's
tell us about
that. CBD bills that everybody's concerned about. It's House Bill 1220, and it's called Hope for Haley and Friends, is what they named it. That was supposed to be heard on the House floor today, the first reading. But instead of hearing the Hope for Haley bill today, our House fast-tracked a Senate fracking bill that was heard at 11 o'clock this morning in the Senate and then went straight to the House and passed this afternoon.
Wow.
So we sat there for 2.5 hours waiting to hear the reading of the Hope for Haley bill, listening to all the representatives argue about fracking.
Yeah.
Which is another problem. They've been doing that to us for years now. They change up their schedule and don't tell us, so we can't show up.
Well, they do this so fast that you don't. The public has no time to express any opinion on what they're doing down there. And this is this Republican-led legislature that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And there's a little sect of people, Paul Stamm, Tom Tillis, our Speaker of the House, Phil Berger, Tim Moore, and there's one more in there that I'm missing. But there's about 4 or 5 major Republican leaders here that they run things down there.
Mm-hmm.
And they get what they want. And with the fracking vote, it was a split vote of, I think it was 63 to 52 on the House floor. So the Democrats are outnumbered. So no matter what the Democrats do, they're going to lose.
Right.
We have resolutions from the Democratic Party. There were several representatives that did stand up for the people in regards to fracking, because there's two things in that bill that are of concern. Number one, if they poison us, they do not have to disclose what chemical we were exposed to. If our doctor demands it, then they can expose it to the doctor, but not to us.
Oh, wow.
And if
there's another part of that bill, and then there's another part of that bill is if they drill under one person's property in an area, that it automatically gives them right to everybody else's land around them to pull this gas out from under their land. And then another thing that I heard today that concerned me is it's only going to create 300 and something jobs in the state, and it will only supply 12 days worth of natural gas that supplies this country. So we're going to spend millions of dollars to poison people and get more people sick, and then we'll need more cannabis to fix these people because of what they're doing. I was just absolutely shocked that the CBD oil bill was shoved to the side to fast-track fracking.
So is there a sense, though, in the legislature that this CBD bill is being brought forth to kind of give these politicians some political cover from the negative stories about, you know, kids and epilepsy?
Well, I think that what happened was is that Representative McElrath, the Carteret County representative, saw that video that went viral of the little child seizing in the car seat that went around that everybody was so upset about in the movement. And I also think that there's some families that have come forward with epileptic children that have expressed their desire to get this oil for their children. But from our meetings yesterday, I learned that somehow pharmaceutical is directly involved. Somehow they believe that by October of this year, some pharmaceutical company will be supplying the oil if this bill passes. So now I would love to know who that pharmaceutical company is that has said they'd supply Charlotte's Web oil, and how the heck they're going to get it from the Stanley Brothers. Have they made a deal with pharma?
Not to mention, is insurance ever going to cover this? If they force it to be a medicine?
No. It's in the bill, no.
People, then they're going to be overcharging them because it's coming from pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's the way it looks.
The charges are going to be extreme. And I understand why. I mean, they put a lot of money into research. Don't get me wrong. But if you can grow it in your backyard and you can't get insurance in North Carolina because they knocked out all of our insurances, then you
I looked at Representative McElroy's secretary yesterday and asked, do you realize I could put a bottle of something on your desk right now that would stop that child's seizures and I could make it in my own kitchen? And they just looked at me funny. You know, this whole bill is set up behind pharmaceuticals being involved, pharmaceuticals providing the Charlotte's Web oil. So I'm ready to do some digging and find out what's behind all this.
Yeah. Well, we hope you can find out what's behind all of this, and we want to give you as much help as we can. So before we wind this segment up, give people your support information, Facebook, website addresses, anything, any way they can help.
Well, the best place to go in regards to grassroots lobbying for both bills in the state is www.nccpn.org. That's going to be our central portal to inform people of phone call campaigns, email campaigns, because we have a very short amount of time. So I would like to see everybody get to that site and be on the same page, making the correct calls to the correct people so that we can make some impact. My site on Facebook, you can just Google my name, Rebecca Forbes, and you will find me. You'll find my website, you'll find my Facebook page, you'll find my Twitter. If you just Google my name, it makes it pretty simple. So just Google Rebecca Forbes and you'll find me.
And hopefully we'll have the same people calling that called last year, that so many people called and emailed. They said we were harassing them and turned the whole land media.
Yeah, that made national media, we'll actually.
I remember when that came up. Thank you, ladies, so much for what you're doing in North Carolina.
Thank you.
Good luck to all of you. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant on the new way of extorting pot growers and users in Mendocino County.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420-friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
New Approach Oregon is a coalition of Oregon citizens who believe that treating marijuana use as a crime has failed, costing taxpayers millions in law enforcement resources. We believe it's time for a new approach on marijuana and that Oregonians deserve a chance to decide in the 2014 general election. Our approach will regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana for adults in Oregon. By implementing a strict system to regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana, we can move Oregon forward and create new revenue for critical services. Under our approach for 2014, 40% of funds would support K-12 education, 20% would support mental health and treatment services, and 15% would be dedicated to law enforcement. Public opinion, coupled with victories in Washington and Colorado, confirms marijuana legalization is inevitable. Visit our website at newapproachoregon.com or our page on Facebook at New Approach Oregon. Thank you. 420 Radio, the world's voice of marijuana legalization.
Stop looking at me. I can stop smoking pot anytime I want.
Okay, how about right now?
Next week is better.
You disappoint me.
Five of the last nine major party candidates to run for president, three of the last nine vice presidential candidates, and the last three two-term presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Today I was preparing the news, and I ended up on this story from the Los Angeles Times. It was kind of shocking as I read through it. It's entitled, Mendocino County DA Takes a New Approach to Marijuana Cases. And of course, anytime I see the words new approach, it makes me want to look. But this guy's name is David Eyster, E-Y-S-T-E-R. So I think it's Eyster. He took over as Mendocino County District Attorney, and he said the felony prosecutions were too much. Got far too many felony cases, hundreds of active cases at a time, right? So to fix the problem of having far too many felony marijuana cases going on in Mendocino County. And I remember we're talking about Northern California, Emerald Triangle, Mendocino County, right? That was about 3 years ago. Since then, he has implemented this new policy that they call the Mendocino Model. He's gotten marijuana cases to go from an average of 15 months to clear to 3 months average to clear. And he's got the sheriff's department $600,000 surplus in budget. So they call this the Mendocino Model. Other people call it the Mendocino Shakedown. And here's basically what it is. There is a little known codicil in California Health and Safety Code for reimbursing police for the cost of cleaning up meth labs and pot grows, right? So like, you know, if the state busts you for a meth lab, and then they have to go in with their hazmat suits and clean everything up and remove the toxic chemicals and all the waste and debris and all that, they can charge you, the guy with the meth lab, they can charge you for restitution for how much it costs the city or the county or whatever, the law enforcement agency, to clean up your toxic meth lab. And it also applies to pot grows. So what he has done is he has a restitution system set up. This is a DA Eister out there in Mendocino County. A restitution set up where it's $50 per plant and $500 per pound of processed pot that they seize. And the suspects in that case can plead guilty to a misdemeanor and get probation instead of the felony, right? All right, well, that sounds like a good deal, right? You know, you can spend a little bit of money and get out of felony charges, just end up on probation. But this $50 per plant, $500 per pound, is a number that's pulled right out of the department of his ass. There's no basis to this as far as what is the real restitution that that person would have to pay to clean up their pot grow, right? It's not like a meth lab where we're talking about hazmat suits and, you know, toxic chemicals and waste and all of that. We're talking about a pot grow. We're talking about pulling some plants. Cost $50 to pull a plant, one plant, $50, really. You go to a guy's house with six plant grow, and you really mean to say it costs $300 to eradicate those plants. And $500 per pound of processed pot? What, you had to hire a strong man to lift the pound? Where in the hell do you get a number $500 as restitution for the cost of the police department to bust you? Now, in the case of the meth lab, you can come up with a pretty, you know, detailed list of what the costs were. Had to buy, you know, bring this truck, and we had to have this, you know, fumes used and overtime, and you could list it out, right? But when that happens, like if you seized a bigger meth lab, right, it would cost more. There'd be more chemicals to process and so on. But this $500 per pound thing is saying somehow a guy who's storing 40 pounds of weed is up for, what, $20,000 that you'd have to pay back? That somehow it costs the sheriffs $20,000 to pick up 40 pounds of weed, but it only costs them $500 to pick up a pound of weed? To investigate it, so there's no rhyme nor reason to this number. It's just a number pulled out of his ass. $50 a plant, $500 a pound. So the law actually says the restitution is reimbursement. This is the LA Times writing. The restitution is reimbursement for actual enforcement costs. But to be eligible for the deal, defendants waive an itemized accounting and state that the amount owed is reasonable. It's amazing how reasonable a five-figure number can be when your alternative is prison. This is nothing more than extortion by the Mendocino County DA to expedite the glut of marijuana cases that shouldn't exist in the first place. It's such the wrong reaction. It's like people when they react to drug testing saying, well, if I have to drug test, they ought to drug test the welfare people. No, there should be less drug testing. And in this case, there should be less corruption. There should be less marijuana charges. If there are so many felony marijuana cases going on in Mendocino County that you can't keep up with them all, the solution to that is not to bend the rules, is not to bend the law, is not to extort the people. Because what this does is this sets up a bit of an incentive program for these cops to want to bust people, knowing they can get money out of them if they can pick them up for plants and stuff. Oh, and by the way, this doesn't just count, you know, the plants and the pot. Civil asset forfeiture is still at work too. They can still seize the cars and the cash and the homes and all of that stuff. That's a whole separate thing. This is in addition to that. After they've seized all your cash and assets and all that, they can also force you to pay $50 a plant, $500 a pound for the marijuana they took from you. Now, this is being applied to a case, one current case. A defendant has records indicating they are supplying for 1,500 medical users. So, you know, could be abiding by California law there on supplying the medical users. Maybe not, but they're going after the medical people. Here's another guy who had 4 pounds of processed marijuana, but the evidence indicated the defendant was selling it for profit. So the Mendocino County gets to come in here and gouge these people for all their money, take their property, funnel that money. And here's the thing with asset forfeitures, the way asset forfeiture works is the local police agency has to share some of that with the state, right? They have to divvy it up. But with this restitution thing, restitution goes straight to that county, 100% of it. They get it all. So yeah, there's a little bit of an incentive now for these cops to go want to go bust, not necessarily the most dangerous grower, but the largest guy with 1,500 medical users who's probably not causing many problems in society. Now, it's not open to everyone, this program. You can't have any criminal background, you know, trespassers, no public lands, you know, any of that kind of stuff. The DA actually reviews these on a case-by-case basis. But that's even worse, that now we're setting one guy to be the arbiter outside of a judge of who is worthy of this pay-for-play system of justice. And we're talking about the funds that they make from this. We're talking about $3.7 million in restitution funds since 2011. For one county. This is one California county, Mendocino County, $3.7 million since 2011. That's over $1 million a year. Asset forfeitures are $4.4 million in cash and goods. That was just in 2013, and that was double from 2012. So this is quite a lucrative market for the police here to be going after growers and users in Mendocino County. Now, there's some investigations going on this. Mendocino County Superior Judge Clay Brennan blasted this as extortion of defendants. Alex Kreit, an associate professor at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego, said, quote, "It suggests a two-tiered system of justice where people who don't have the money for the restitution or don't have assets they can use as bargaining chips may get more severe criminal punishments," end quote. Oh, yes. We're all quite shocked that there's a two-tier system of justice in America where people with money can get less punishment than the poor. Wow. And I understand there's gambling going on at Rick's Cafe Americane. Eister counters that he personally handles every marijuana case and he can opt to lower fines or not prosecute people who are poor. Some of those people include a guy named Nicholas Koulouris. Last July, they found some pot, 171 plant garden, and garbage bags of marijuana shake, and a 2006 Yamaha Grizzly. They filed criminal charges, but they'd already struck a deal. The deal, he got misdemeanor probation and paid the sheriff's department $10,750. Settlement agreement on the forfeiture shows he paid the district attorney's office $5,000 to get his Yamaha back. So they made, you know, close to $16,000. Busting that guy. There have been 357 defendants so far since he took office. So in about 3 years, 357 defendants have decided to pay this restitution. Only 20 violated their probation, which includes random searches of your home, of your person. Just random searches. So you get the money from these guys and you get to search them randomly. Some people call this guy an innovator. I think it's just another indication of how our entire justice system is turning into policing for profit and prisons for profit. Reminds me of the movie Heavy Metal. Do you remember the cop in Heavy Metal, the cops department, and they wouldn't do anything for the cab driver because he didn't have any money? That's the way it's turning out, folks. Hey, stay tuned for Hour 2. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at radicalrus.com. Take a seat, you're planning, you're growing, you're growing.